Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If you know Christ, you were not designed or called to journey through life alone. You're called to journey through life with a church family, striving together with one heart and one mind. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we learn how to strive together. You know, a lot of churches have lost the ability to stay unified, to stand together for the gospel, to strive together with one heart, one mind, and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to rediscover and begin discovering how to strive together. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And today we're going to study how to strive together. We're learning and relearning how to not go through life alone, but to arm in arm, heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder with our church family for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive together for the faith. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources there, a daily devotional, the Daily in the Word podcast, as well as Dr. Chappell's two newest books. The first one, Stewarding Life, a beautiful hardback book that helps you understand how to take one lifetime of limited resources and live it for eternal priorities. The second is a book entitled Sacred Motives, 10 Reasons to Get Out of Bed Tomorrow Morning and Live for God. Both of these books will encourage and strengthen your walk with God, and you can find out more about them at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today's subject is prayer, striving together in prayer, Hebrews chapter 10. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
God wants us to come to Him boldly when we pray. Secondly, He wants us to come sincerely. God invites us to come to Him, but He says, keep it real. Be sincere. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, Hebrews 10:22, with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Notice that phrase there, a true heart. Sometimes we equate prayer with kind of like vain repetitions. We can even say the Lord's Prayer in that vein if we're not careful. Just saying words over and over again. Sometimes we equate prayer with real flowery, sanctimonious talk. Well, listen, prayer is not about impressing the guy next to you. Prayer is not about putting on a show or just saying how much you can quote. Prayer is about sincerely from your heart coming to the Lord and speaking to Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we may look at this briefly next week, but remember those words. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, the Bible says, and pray and seek my face. God says, look, when you come to see me, be real. Don't put on a sanctimonious bunch of flowery words to impress someone, but come to me with a sincere and a true heart. And He says, come to me with a pure conscience. Don't try to fluff me. Don't try to manipulate me. Notice that phrase there in verse 22. He says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. The Bible speaks of a lot of different kinds of consciences. There's the good conscience in Acts chapter 20. There is the defiled conscience that is spoken of. But this is the evil conscience. It's the conscience that has, because of the presence of sin, it's not hearing God very well. This particular conscience that is mentioned in this passage, this evil conscience, is the conscience of a man that surely has salvation, but because of the presence of sin, there's not the fellowship that should be there. And God says, now look, don't act like there's no sin in your life when you come to talk to me. Let's be real when we get together, and let's come together openly. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let's say that together. Ready? Begin. If I regard the Lord... You ever have someone say, you know, the Bible's so hard to understand. It's not that hard to understand, folks. And sometimes people say, well, Pastor Chappell, I try to pray, but it doesn't feel like my prayers get above the ceiling. And I'll be honest with you, I've had days like that. I've had days where I'm talking to the Lord, but I don't feel the depth of the communion that I want to feel. And not in every case, but in some cases, what will help you, as it has helped me perhaps, has been this. When I just stop and say, Lord, I feel right now like our prayer time is not what it should be. Lord, if there's any iniquity in my heart, if there's any attitude towards Terry or the kids, or if there's anything in my heart towards someone else, please reveal that to me, Lord, because if there's something hindering our communication right now, I want to confess that. I want to forsake that. I need you, Lord. I need to talk to you, Lord. I need you to hear me, Lord. And Lord, I want to be sincere about this. I preach to many hundreds of people in each service who are very sincere, and then there are sometimes people that are just here. Sometimes young men who are more interested in the internet and their sin on the internet than the Bible. Sometimes people that can't wait to get out and go to the next party. They're here, but they're not sincerely here. Do you know what I'm talking about? And that's how it is with prayer. We're talking, but we're not sincerely talking to the Lord as we should. And God says, hey, I'm God. Don't come to me like you're going to fake me out. Come to me with sincerity. So we come boldly and we come with sincerity. And then thirdly, he says, I want you to come with faith in your heart. Come with faith. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Andrew Murray said, beware in your prayer above everything of limiting God, not only by unbelief, but by fancying that you know what he can do. In other words, we could limit God with unbelief. We could limit God with a limited belief. So the point is to come to God knowing that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we would ask or think, and say, God, you're able to do this miracle, and you're able to answer this prayer, and you are able to build that West Wing, and you're able to do this and that. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, I've learned that sometimes children are better at having faith than we are. Ephesians 5:1 even says, follow God as dear children, okay? Look it. Did you know that the 5-year-olds in Sunday school this morning, they believe that God could build that West Wing right now? In fact, they're wondering what we're doing, why we're not getting with it. Because they just got that kind of faith. They really believe what the Bible says. I love it when kids learn how to pray. Our grandson Camden, Peter and Danielle have been teaching him how to pray. And, of course, it's normally around mealtime, and he always kind of bow his head like this and furrow his brow. He doesn't quite close his eyes yet. He's like some Baptist at Imitation Time looking around, you know. But when he thinks it's time to pray, he assumes that posture like this. And sometimes I'll just have an apple or an orange or something, just having an orange, and he'll look at me and he'll go, Papa, like this. He wants me to pray. And he doesn't even know the Lord yet. He's not saved yet, but he's learning that there's something to this prayer. And you know what? He's going to come to a place, Lord willing, as he's saved someday and as he learns to pray, he's going to have a great faith in God. Sometimes the longer you're saved, the devil takes away that faith, and it ought not to be that way. We need to have the faith of a little child. Some children in a Christian school were writing prayers to God, and one little girl named Debbie, 7 years old, she said, dear God, please send me a new baby for mommy. The one you sent last week cries too much. Angela said, dear God, could you please give me a brother with some brains? So far, he doesn't have any. And Lois said, dear God, please help me in school. I need help in spelling, math, history, geography, and writing. I don't need help in anything else, she said. Kids are just honest with God. They just have faith in God. And God says, when you talk to me, be like a child. Be real. Believe in me. Come boldly to me. When my children were young, it didn't matter who was in my office. I mean, it could have been the most important meeting, could have been building contractors, could have been marriage counseling. It didn't matter. If they wanted to see me, they just came right through the door. Hey, Dad, how's it going? And God says, I want you to come to me that way. Come boldly. Faith is the opposite of fear, and faith is pleasing to God. And so come with faith, for without faith it's impossible to please Him. So our access to prayer is through Jesus Christ. And our attitude in prayer is an attitude that is bold and an attitude filled with faith. And then notice, thirdly, if you would, our approach in prayer. How do we approach God in prayer? Now, you know, learning to pray for some folks here this morning could be a bit intimidating. It's a little bit hard sometimes, and maybe when you're at lunch at Denny's or In-N-Out Burger or wherever you have lunch, sometimes for a man, especially new Christians in this room, to just say, let us pray, and then to talk to God with a few people around, that can be intimidating. If I was taking a man from our church out who is a new Christian, we were going out to have lunch, and it was time now to pray, I probably wouldn't say, Joe, why don't you go ahead and pray? He might swallow his tongue before he swallows hamburger. I probably would pray first, and I would pray, and then maybe take him out for another In-N-Out Burger, and hopefully if he was kind and godly, he'd take me out for a hamburger. And then on that third time, I might say, Joe, why don't you pray for the food today? And just in a mentoring process. Because prayer can be intimidating. It's something when you're doing it for the first few times, it may seem a little awkward. Like when I taught my girls how to drive. I mean, it was the most awkward experience for them and for me. Try teaching a 16-year-old girl how to use a clutch and a stick shift. It's very awkward. It's very stressful. But God doesn't want prayer to be that way. He wants it to be something that we enjoy. We need to take time for prayer. Richard Foster said, we will never have time for prayer. We must make time for prayer. And so I want to give you today, in the hopes of helping you to maybe have a little plan, something I shared several years ago, just in closing today, that might just help you and guide you in praying to God so that it's not such an awesome, overwhelming thing. I want to challenge you, first of all, in your prayer, to consider this thought of adoration. Taking time at the first moment when you pray, Lord willing, tomorrow morning, many of you will do this, to just adore God. Now, Jesus said in Luke 11:2, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Now, he said, hallowed be thy name. In other words, start your prayer by focusing on who you're praying to and focusing on adoring him. Hallowed is his name. His attributes, His greatness, His knowledge, His ability. And just take time to adore God for who He is, His creative power, His saving power, and give adoration to Him. Something that has meant a lot to me, I read several weeks ago, was a quote by Augustine. And Augustine simply said, Lord, You made us for Yourself. Our hearts are restless until we rest in You. Lord, You made us for Yourself. Our hearts are restless until we find rest in You. We made a little plaque of that and put it in our house. And I think it really reflects this thought of adoration, taking all of the busyness, forgetting all the email and all the Twitter and all the Facebook and all the ABC and NBC and all the 258 million channels you can get and all of the problems and all of the traffic and all of the talk radio and just saying, Lord, this is me and You and hallowed be Your name, and just focus in on Him. They tell me that type A personalities think constantly, rapidly, and polyphasically. That means our brains are a mess. They're just going everywhere all the time. And if you have that tendency to do that, then you'll understand. Sometimes when you kneel down to pray and you're talking to God, all of a sudden, boom, here comes a thought in your mind about something you got to do tomorrow. And zoom, here comes some other thought that you got to do in 5 minutes. And zoom, here comes this and that. And sometimes if you have a little bit of that in you, you start praying to God. And before you know it, you're thinking about something else 5 minutes later. Anybody else have that problem sometimes? See, and that's why he says, I want you to start your prayer with some focus here. Get focused on me, God. hallowed be thy name. I want to rest in you right now. I want to rest in your presence. I want to focus on your person. Hallowed be thy name. Adoration. Secondly, I believe we should confess to the Lord anything that would hinder our prayer. We learned about that a minute ago. Sometimes prayer's not getting traction because it's not that we're thinking about so many other things, but there's hidden sin in our heart. I heard about a situation that took place in a washroom in London years ago, and a British newspaper publisher, William Beaverbrook, happened to meet a parliament member by the name of Edward Heath. And Beaverbrook had written some terrible things in the paper about Mr. Heath. And then he saw Mr. Heath there in the restroom, and he said, "My dear chap, I've been thinking it over, and I was wrong about what I wrote. I apologize. I sincerely apologize to you." "Very well," grunted Heath. "But the next time, I wish you'd insult me in the bathroom and apologize in your newspaper." Now, for whatever reason, we want our sin to be just kind of that hidden in the washroom thing. And out in the newspaper, everything's fine. And the fact of the matter is that God says, "Look, I see it all. So when you come to me, I want you to confess. I want you to be made right." Now we don't have to confess our sins to get saved again. Once you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. But we do have this matter of fellowship in mind. Now I'm telling you right now, the Bible teaches us, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And when there's sin in my life, it's grievous to God and to His Spirit. If a man who is married in this room were to say to his wife on a Saturday night, "I think you're the worst wife ever. I don't know why we're even married. And just talk to my attorney, and I hate your dog," or whatever else you might want to make up. He might have a little trouble waking up the next morning and going, "Hello, sweetheart, ready to go to church and worship?" It might be that she might, after she hits you with a frying pan and a baseball bat, she might say, "You know what? We probably ought to get real here before we get going to church." That might be a common response. Now, God's not going to hit you over the head necessarily with a baseball bat, but He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And if there are things between you and the Lord, then 1 John 1:9 is applicable. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I adore the Lord and I focus on Him. And before I move deeper into my prayer, I say, "Lord, I ask you to forgive me for failures. Forgive me for specific sin that He brings to your heart and mind and make things right." And then thirdly, I believe God would give to us the pattern of thanksgiving. In the Word of God, we read Philippians 4 and verse number 7 that we're to make our requests known with thanksgiving. Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And this is where we pause in our prayer. We thank God for the cross. We thank God for the empty tomb. We thank God for the Bible. We thank God for health. We thank God for the local church. We thank God for our family. We thank God for a job. We thank God for food. And no matter how low you are right now in life, no matter how tough times are, I want to tell you, there's always something to thank God for. And in our prayer, we adore Him and we confess to Him and then we thank Him. And then we get to the heart of prayer, and that's this matter of supplication. And supplication is just asking God. Dr. John R. Rice wrote a book entitled Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And prayer is really asking God for His help. And there's two areas that I would suggest to you are vital in supplication. First, in your personal life. In your personal life. God says, "I want you to bring your request to me. Ask what you will. If you abide in me and I abide in you, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." And I believe we need to learn how to turn every care into a prayer. Every care into a prayer. God says, "I want to hear from you. What's on your heart? What's burdening you? What are you caring about right now? Turn your care into a prayer. Let me know your needs. It might be a teenager that's gone wayward. It might be a bill that's due. It might be other things." God says, turn every care into a prayer. Personal supplication. And then secondly, I want you to see this word, intercessory supplication. That's when we pray for other people. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. Try not to ever tell somebody, "I'll be praying for you," without really doing it. Because all of us need prayer. And in fact, we're commanded to pray for one another. Look at what it says there in 1 Timothy 2:1. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now notice we're to pray for kings and for all in authority. You say, well, Pastor Chappell, you said very publicly this morning that you don't agree with President Obama. Let me say very publicly that I pray for him every day. You see, we're commanded to pray for people that are in authority. I have most politicians that I don't agree with, but I pray for them. I pray that God would touch their hearts and lives, and that the unsaved would be saved. And I pray for our church family, and I pray for police officers who are in authority as well, by the way. I pray for people in authority, but I pray for our church family. Pray for the sick. I have a notebook in my office, my prayer book, and prayed this week through our membership and asking God to help people. And all of us are commanded to pray for others, not just ourselves. And sometimes our members will write me a note or send an email or tell me at the door, been praying for you. And sometimes I wonder if that's why I've made it so far, and God's prayers being answered by God's people. And thank God for prayer, and the prayer of supplication one for another is so vital today. And so here it is. God says, I'm going to give you access into the holy place. It's through Jesus Christ and no one else. God says, now I want you to come to me with a specific attitude, an attitude of boldness and faith. Come to me like my child and with a sincere heart. And then I want you to have a certain approach when you come to me. I want you to approach me as someone that has a heart for adoration, someone that has a heart for confession and thanksgiving. And then let me know what's on your heart and what you need, because I want to hear your needs. Now, I want to focus on one word and we'll be done. And that word is that very first word, access. Because we have access to prayer through Jesus Christ. But if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're still trusting in religion or the priest or the church or the baptismal, then we haven't yet entered into that relationship that gives us access. And we must realize that salvation comes when I turn away from my thinking and my past, my religious idea, and I turn to Jesus and I say, Jesus, I believe that you and only you can give me access to the Father. I ask you to be my Savior. Sometimes we refer to that as being saved. Sometimes as being born again, as passing from death to life. But in your notes, 1 Peter 1:18 says, for as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How are we redeemed? By getting into the water of the baptistry? No. Jumping in the Ganges River? No. Joining a church? No. We are redeemed. We have access to God when we receive His Son as our Savior. That's the most important decision you ever make on planet Earth, is the decision to receive Christ as your Savior. And if you haven't made that decision yet, I encourage you to make it today and find access to the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to learn about prayer and how we can come and boldly approach you. We thank you that it's all because of Jesus.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's teaching and preaching through a series entitled Striving Together. We're rediscovering church life, how to strive together with other Christians in a fruitful and faithful local church family. You can hear all of the broadcasts in this series when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Also, you'll find other resources like the Daily in the Word podcast or the devotional. We hope you'll subscribe to these and use them or pass them along to a friend. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.